Well, good morning. It's great to be with you in this way, and praise the Lord for this community. And thank you, worship team. Well, I'm just so ministered to every week by the work that all of you do, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to begin with a question for you, and it's, have any of you ever struggled with wondering what Christianity really is all about? I know that when I was in university, as a believer, I was nevertheless obsessed with my sin and all the ways in which I felt like I was falling short as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I remember one day in the basement of this one building with my friend Brent, I remember saying, you know, what is Christianity about anyway? Because if it's about avoiding sin, it feels like a pretty miserable existence. And then God used my friend Brent to answer me something. It was so significant. He said, you know, Jesus was asked a question similar to yours one time in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. And so we read them together. I'm going to read them for you right now. The question and the answer. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? In other words, what's it really ultimately all about? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. What's Christianity all about? Well, at its core, it's about love. First, loving God, and second, loving our neighbor as ourself. Now, Jesus shared these two together because they are inseparable in a couple ways. First of all, as we're going to see throughout this message, our obedience to these two is linked together. You can't do the one without the other. But the other reason Jesus shared them together is because all the other scriptures depend on these two, loving God and loving your neighbors yourself. Love is the great motivation and the great power behind our obedience. That's why Paul says in Romans 13, 9 and 10, these words, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, or any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. God used Brent's answer, actually Jesus' answer, to this question to change me. Instead of being a discouraged Christian who was constantly obsessed with all the things I wasn't supposed to do, this gave me something positive and something joyful to focus on. The call to love him and the call to love those he loves. And obviously, I still struggle in many ways, but my life is pointed in a different direction now, and it's because of what's called the Great Commandment. Well, today I'd like to take a deeper look at the Great Commandment through the lens of 1 John. Because as familiar as these commands are, I really believe that for each one of us, that God wants to take us deeper into what this means for us today and every day. So could you turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16? 1 John 4, 16. And I'm going to read from there down to chapter 5, verse 2. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. There's five very important principles that I'd like to talk about briefly from these verses. First, in verse 16, we see that love is a defining characteristic of God. That's why John writes, God is love. You know, this is interesting. It's one of three statements that John makes of God in this way in his writings. The first one is, God is spirit in John 4:24. And then he says, God is light in 1 John 1:5. And then here he says, God is love. This means that you can't know God without understanding that he is an absolutely pure and absolutely loving spirit. It is who he is, it's who he always has been, and it's who he always will be. God is love. Second, in verses 16 to 17, we see that love is not only a defining characteristic of God, but also of God's children, because God is abiding in us. Now, unlike God, love, of course, has not always been our defining characteristic. In fact, that's why it says in verse 17 that God is perfecting love in us. But God is constantly at work in us, making us more and more like him in the way that we love. So much so, in fact, that we read these stunning words right here. Listen to this. As he is, so also are we in this world. God is perfecting his love within us so that we are like our Father, known for our love. Now you may say, well, that seems hard to believe. As he is, so also are we in this world. And I get it. And if it feels hard to believe, I want you to think back a number of weeks ago. If you possibly heard the message I preached on transformation, you might remember the illustration I gave of the butterfly who didn't fly because she still thought of herself as a caterpillar. Do you remember that? Well, the point is that we are given a new heart and a new spirit so that we now have wings to fly on the wind of the Spirit. And this means that we can now love as God loves when we abide in him and we are filled with his Holy Spirit. John's words, as he is, so also are we in this world, remind us of 2 Corinthians 5:16. So we have stopped evaluating others, or I could say ourselves, from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. We need to stop viewing ourselves as caterpillars who are incapable of godly love. Because the Spirit is within us, we should be known by our love, just as God is. It's for this reason that Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, these familiar words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Friends, we live in a very unkind and unloving world. I mean, you just go onto Facebook and you can even see Christians being very, very unkind to each other. But may I ask one thing of you? Let's not allow this epidemic of unkindness that's going on around us to make us think that we're all really just caterpillars capable of nothing better. Because that is not the truth. The truth is this: as he is, so also are we in the world. Just as God is characterized by love, that's the way that we're meant to be too. We should not let ourselves off the hook by expecting anything less of ourselves. Third, in verse 18, we see that perfect love, which is the love that God is putting into us, perfect love casts out fear. Now, fear and shame are very interconnected and very powerful forces in the world and certainly in our lives, as we talked about a few weeks ago. Fear brings about, fear that's brought about by sin and shame and guilt causes us to cover ourselves by wearing masks, hiding our true selves from God, blaming other people, and just being afraid of punishment or suffering harm or suffering loss. But the good news that is that as powerful as fear is, there is something far more powerful, and that is the love of God. God's love can banish all fear, even the scariest fear of all, which is of death and hell. Now, I want you to picture for a moment that you come across a building that's on fire. Now, what would be the emotion that you would feel if you were near that building, so near that you could even feel the heat? Well, you'd be afraid, and you should be afraid because fire is scary. And you would not want to go into that building. That would be the last thing in the world you possibly would want to do. But now imagine that you're a parent and that your child is inside that burning building. Well, that would change everything because you would love your child so much. That love would cause you to go into that building and rescue your child, even when normally you would never even imagine doing something like that because of the fear. But why? Because the love you would have for your child is so much more than the fear. You would just go and you would do it. Perfect love casts out fear. Fourth, we see in verse 19 that the gospel is the great motivation for our love. These simple words, we love because he first loved us. The reason we're to take the great commandment so seriously is because it's rooted in nothing less than the love that Jesus showed us on the cross. Loving God and loving others is much more than just trying to be a nice or a civil or a polite person in an unkind world. No, it's the love that Jesus showed us which should be the driving passion in our lives. Listen to how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Because he loved us first, our lives are no longer our own. We belong to him who loved us and died for us and was raised for us. Christ's love for us is what puts the passion in our hearts to love him and to love other people as well. And fifth, in verses 20 down to 5, chapter 5, verse 2, we see that love for God and love for God's children is inseparable. It's simply not possible to love God and at the same time hate a person that God loves. Listen to Proverbs 14:31 just for a moment. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him, God. Every single person on the face of this earth is made in the image of God. And so when we are cruel or unkind or oppressive to an image bearer of God, that is an insult to the God who made that person. And if that's true for everybody on earth as image bearers, how much more true is it for the person who's a believer in Jesus Christ, who's actually God's child? If we are unkind or hateful to a brother or sister in the Lord, we are not loving the God whose spirit is present in that person right there and right now. We cannot be obedient to God without obeying the great commandments to love him and to love those he loves. And we can't truly love God without also loving who he loves. It just doesn't work any other way. So let me just summarize these 5 points briefly. Love is a defining characteristic of God. Love is also, should be at least, a defining characteristic of God's children, because as he is, so also are we in the world. Love casts out fear that comes from sin, shame, and guilt. Fear is powerful, but love is stronger and sets us free. The love of Jesus on the cross is what puts the passion in our hearts to love him and love others. And we are not loving God when we're not loving his children. It's fundamentally inconsistent. It's time now to turn our attention to the two most ignored words in the Great Commandment. Do I have your curiosity as to what these words are? Well, I'll tell you. The words "as yourself" in "love your neighbor as yourself." Now, what do these words actually mean? Well, they mean actually just what they say, that we are to love our neighbors, we are to love ourselves, and that the way we love our neighbors and the way we love ourselves should be the same. So this verse clearly commands that just as it's wrong to hate others and love ourselves, so also it's wrong to love others and hate ourselves. The love that we're called to love with should be the same for everybody, and that includes ourselves. Now, can we be honest for a moment? Especially if you've grown up in the church, I'm sorry to say that many of us right now, hearing talk about loving ourselves might be making some of you feel a little uncomfortable. You don't have to raise your hands or anything like that, but maybe you're feeling that way a little bit right now. Kind of like that feeling you had as a kid when you were doing something wrong, but you weren't quite sure what it was. You felt like, am I going to get in trouble? Well, maybe you're feeling a little bit like that. So is it possible that we're not understanding what Jesus said when he said, love your neighbor as yourself? Well, look at just again at 1 John 5. Verses 1 and 2. Let's just read those again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? If so, then you have been born of God, born again. And look what it says. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Whoever includes you. So here is the exact same teaching. You are to love all those who God loves, and that means you too. Now please hear, friends. Please hear. This is not an optional accessory, kind of like you bought the main thing with love your neighbors, and if you want to, there's this extra feature you can buy, you know, and that's called loving yourself too. No, you can't truly love God without loving those he loves. That's what we just read. And you're part of that. You're part of that. You are his child. He loves you. And because his love is being perfected in you, part of what that means is that you'll have love not only for everybody else, but also for this person too. Now, I know some of you are like, now, wait a minute, I'm still not sure that this is okay, because doesn't it say in 2 Timothy 3:1-2, something about in the last days that people will be lovers of themselves? So there, what are you going to say about that? Well, let's read 2 Timothy 3:2-5, just to get the context of that. So yes, that is true. In the last days, listen to this, people will be, listen to this list, lovers of self, that's how it begins. But it goes on, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Wow, that is quite a list. And this list is describing godless, cruel people who are obsessed with themselves and don't care about anybody else. These are people who don't love God and do not love their neighbor. They only love themselves. Do you see how different that is than what Jesus is saying in the Great Commandment? Because the Great Commandment is love God first and also love others and love yourself. So this is not a reason at all to disregard what's being said here. There's no getting around it. The command to love our neighbors as ourselves is the call to love who God loves as he loves. And it's the exact opposite, actually, of self-centeredness and pride, because for some of us, the hardest person in the whole wide world to love is actually ourselves. Do you know that? I know this because this is my story, which I'd like to share a little bit because it might help you. About 3 years ago, it's not that long ago, so I was like 50 years old. So just about 3 years ago, the Lord confronted me lovingly and said, "Don, there's somebody in your life who you are being unkind to." I was like, whoa, who is this, Lord? Because like I think of myself as a pretty kind person most of the time. I was like, who is this? And he's like, that person is you. You are being unkind to yourself, and you justify showing contempt to yourself because you say, oh, it's just me. It doesn't matter. It's not anybody else. It's just me. I'm just doing this to myself. But he says, God says, it does matter. It matters to me. I don't want any of my children treating any of my other children with contempt and unkindness. And in fact, when you treat yourself this way, you hurt yourself doubly, both as the giver of contempt and the receiver of contempt. And you hurt me. Well, let me tell you, that was a major life-changing moment for me, and it really caught me, and I realized that I put the whole world in two categories. There's everybody else, and there's me, and these people deserve love and kindness, but for me, somehow, I just saw myself that I didn't have to treat myself the same way other people did, and so I'd be very harsh and unkind. And then the Lord, I believe, said this to me. Maybe this will help you. Think about this, these words. Love yourself as your neighbor. Now, of course, what is that? That's just taking the same words and flipping them around. And really, it means the same thing, because remember, we said love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself just means love your neighbor, love yourself, and love them in the same way. But when God flipped the words around for me, love yourself as your neighbor, all of a sudden I began to realize, wait a minute, I too am made in the image of God. I too am God's child. I should care about loving me too because God loves me. I can't justify treating myself different than everybody else should be loved. I call this, tongue-in-cheek, my welcome to the human race moment. Because all of a sudden I began to realize it's like there was everybody in the world, and I was not including myself in there. And so there was distortion in that. If others need kindness and love from me, then I too need kindness and love from me. If I need to love my neighbor as myself, I also need to love myself as my neighbor. It might sound obvious, but I was not living this way, and it had really, really bad consequences. One of those consequences was around the same time, some of you have heard this before as well, but I developed something called adrenal fatigue. And basically what it meant for me was I woke up one day with three symptoms I had never had before. I was exhausted, I was lightheaded, and I had weakness in my arms and legs. And it got so bad that I had to go to the doctor. And this is what the endocrinologist told me. You have been pushing your body so hard for so long and ignoring so many warning signs that your body was trying to tell you, I need rest, I need a break, and you ignored it again and again and again and again, and your body crashed. Now, even though I'm mostly better now, those lessons were so powerful for me. But I want you to know that even in what you might view as like a discipline or a correction, and I do believe it was something God allowed in my life for correction. But even then, I experienced the love and the kindness of God in some fresh and powerful ways, because there were times where I was so tired and so lightheaded that I just couldn't do anything. I couldn't even be with anybody. And I remember times of just being by myself with the Lord, and all I could do was just kind of cry to him. I couldn't, there's nothing else I could do. And I felt God's kindness and compassion and love, even in that moment, even when I couldn't even serve him. I couldn't like really do anything. I couldn't even get off the couch. But all I could really do, figuratively speaking, was kind of put my head on God's shoulder. But what did he do? He put his arm around me and loved me anyway. It wasn't about what I was doing for him. It's just, I was his child. That was enough. That was enough. And I realized, man, God loves me just because he's that good. Just because he is love. It's amazing. And I learned not only how good God is, the very songs that the ladies were just singing moments ago, but I also learned that I need to be kinder to myself. I need to accept myself with my own limitations. And as God started changing my heart in those ways, what I started noticing was that it gave me more compassion, understanding for other people who are struggling and suffering. And then those people could see, oh, he gets it. He can see and feel what I'm experiencing. And all of a sudden, this love that God had shown me was coming out and blessing other people as well. So if the great commandment is to love God and love those that he loves as he loves, what are some practical ways we can obey this command? How can we join God in his work of transforming people through his perfect love? Well, there are so many possibilities, obviously, so many. But I'd just like to share three ideas with you for your consideration. Number one, treat every story as holy. Number two, love every child with kindness. And number three, consider everybody as friend. I'll explain each of these. First, I encourage us to treat every story as holy. Every person has a past, a present, and a future. This is our story. And every one of us have highs and lows in our story, joys and pains in our story. And every one of our stories are tarnished with sin and guilt and shame. None of us escape that. But for the child of God, every story is also something else. Every story is holy ground because your God comes near to you, and right in the mess of your life comes to bring redemption and healing. That is holy ground. Now, as we get to know people, we can join God in his work with them by becoming safe and trustworthy people who can form authentic community with other people. We can become part of God's transformational work as we honor the journey that they've been on and walk with them, not as the experts, but as fellow strugglers, fellow learners, fellow growers. Now, I'm going to ask this question each time. If we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, how do we show this kind of love to ourselves as well? Again, I understand most of us haven't thought this way, but let's think right now. How can we do this? Well, we can do the same thing. We can treat our stories also as holy ground with God. Now, this is hard for us because we have many unhealed things in our past which cause us pain and shame the moment that they come into our minds. Like, oh, I don't want to think about that. In fact, if I could put a firewall up between my past and my present, I would love to do that, and most of us would too. But we can love our neighbors as ourselves by letting God and other people into our lives too, to let them see the real us. Now, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about some people. Who sees the real you in your life? Because the thing is, even though it can be scary to trust people this way, one of the greatest blessings that God gives us in this life is the blessing of loving, trusting, authentic community where people can be real with us and we can be real with them encourage us. Let's move towards this. This is an act of love towards them and towards ourselves. Second, I encourage us to love every child with kindness. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, no matter how young or old we are, all believers in Jesus Christ are God's children. And God loves all of his children with incredible compassion and kindness. Do you remember Matthew 7:11? A very familiar verse. Let me just read it. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is love, and his heart overflows in kindness and generosity to his kids. Now let's think about us for a moment. Have you ever noticed that most adults, I'm just talking in general, not everybody, but most adults treat children, young children, with a lot of kindness. We're very gracious to young kids. But then have you also noticed that as those kids grow up, something seems to change in our disposition towards those same people? We tend to get tougher. We tend to get more demanding, less patient, less compassionate. Now I ask you this question, why? What really has changed? I mean, they're still the same person they were as a child. They're just older now. And they're still beloved children of their Heavenly Father. So what's really changed? What if we started extending the kindness that we give young children to everybody we meet? If we love this people with this kind of perfect love, I promise you the world would be a different place. Now I'm going to ask this the same question again. If it's not just about everybody else, but it's about loving and showing love to ourselves too, how can we do this? Well, we can be kind to the memory of ourselves as children. Many of us carry a lot of shame from our childhood. You know that stupid, embarrassing thing that humiliated you when you were in fifth grade, what the teacher said to you, being picked on by other kids. I don't need to go on. You know what I'm talking about. Well, those things, as we think of those things, we can just be so hard on ourselves. How could I let that happen to me? I was so stupid. I'm so dumb that I allowed this to happen to me. We can just say things, and we can just be so cruel to ourselves as we remember ourselves as kids, in a way that I don't think we would treat any other child that way. But somehow, when we remember that about us, we're like, oh, I just hate that person. I don't even want to look at the pictures of myself as a kid. Again, maybe you're different than me, but I suspect I'm not the only person who's struggled with this. But friends, this is not God's heart. This is not God's heart. So let's honor our Heavenly Father when we remember ourselves as kids by extending the same love to ourselves, the same compassion, realizing that, you know, when we were kids, we did the best we could. We did the best we could. And that's true for every child. Every child is doing the best they can in a hard world. So let's be kind to ourselves, just like we are to other people. This is God's heart for us. And third, I encourage us to consider everybody as friend. Now, you might say, why are you saying everybody? Like, am I saying that strangely on purpose? Actually, I am. I'm choosing to say it that way instead of everyone or everybody because I wanted to draw attention to the fact that God has made each of our bodies. And in today's world, most people have a love-hate relationship with their physical bodies, either tending to obsess over our looks and our physical fitness, or on the other hand, feeling great shame about our appearance. And sometimes as Christians, we make this even worse because we actually believe in a spiritual world, and sometimes we are guilty of thinking of our physical flesh as if it's evil, it needs to be shed, and man, when we die, just get rid of this evil thing. But God made our bodies, and you know what? God lives in our bodies right now. God says, regardless of what you think about your body, if you are a child of God, God says, this is my temple. This thing that you run down, I have dwelt, I dwell in this. Let us not dishonor the body that God calls good. God demonstrated his love towards us in sending his son in a body like ours. And it was in that body that Jesus touched the leper, that Jesus healed the blind and the lame, that Jesus called his disciples his friends. And when we embody the same perfect love in a way that we reach out to others in authentic love and kindness, we become part of God's healing work of transformation. Now again, final time, how do we show love to ourselves in the same way? We have to ask ourselves this question. Well, many of us are cruel and mock our bodies. I cannot tell you how many times I am around people who just have to say something about their bodies that just run it down. But those same people would be mortified to ever do anything like that to anybody else. God desires to give us the grace to see our bodies the way that he does, with kind eyes and a gentle heart. And when we do this, we start viewing our bodies no longer as a liability, like, oh, if this could just be different, or even worse, as an enemy, but rather as a friend. This was my problem, because my body was trying to tell me, I need rest, I need you to slow down, give me a break. But because I wasn't viewing my body as a friend, but viewing it more as a liability, it's like, no, just do what I say, and I don't want to hear you anymore. That's not kind. Maybe you struggle with a similar way of speaking to yourself, like I do. But when we can extend kindness to ourselves in this way too, we can experience deeper peace and rest than we've ever known before. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Friends, God's love is the most powerful force on earth, period. And God has put his love into the hearts of his children so that we can love him and we can love others with that love, and that includes ourselves. This is the heart of Christianity. This kind of love will change us. This kind of love will change others, and this kind of love will change the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for showing us what perfect love is on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us love that was undeserved, but just coming down and being with us and showing us what loving our neighbors, ourselves, really looks like. Jesus, you did it perfectly. Father, please help us. Holy Spirit, please help us to live out this. I know for some of us, this is uncomfortable teaching. This is maybe a little bit new. I pray you would help us to overcome the discomfort and be people that learn to be kind to all around us, even including this person that we're with all the time, ourselves. Father, we love you. We want to grow to love you more and more with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we do love you, for you've given us your very best. May you help us to give you our very best and to keep growing to be people who believe it when you say, as you are, so also are we in this world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.